fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome. You are listening to season number 4 of the Johnny and Josh podcast. What a great pleasure to have you back. The season's just about to kick off, so we're back for what is a preview, maybe to the preview, plus a review. It's complete chaos here, basically. And this brief episode is just a reminder that, one, we still exist, we're still alive. We are ultimately the only dinosaurs the world's ever known that cannot be made extinct. So it's great to be back, great to have your company. And joining me, as always, the legends that are Eric Jansen, the producer, Big Davey Lingirl, and JC, the greatest sports pundit the world has ever knew. Boys, lovely to have you.
Goldie.
Oh, hi.
Dave, you're out there in front. What I love about this, none of us, even though there is a recording element to this podcast, none of us have made an effort to look smart. It looks like everyone's just crawled out of bed. Nobody's had a shave.
Excuse me.
We're just a little deconstructed, Gouldy, you know? I mean, just easing our way back into chatting. It's been a while.
It certainly has. Guys, we've got to keep this really short for obvious reasons. Everybody's busy. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you for coming together. It's always a pleasure. And we want to focus, obviously, on the big story. Before we get into the big story that is the World Baseball Classic, let's just focus on some of the details for our regular listeners, because this podcast, guys, and you know I'm a technical man, I understand the technicals of all the IT world. It's moved to a new platform. I've no idea what that means. It's basically called Audio Boom. I'm sure you regular podcast listeners will know what that is. Everything else remains the same, so please don't worry. The new platform is called Audio Boom, so it's still the same link, it's still the same address, obviously still the same ugly mugs. And if you want to check out any of our previous episodes and or future shows, and we will obviously have future shows throughout the season, then do keep an eye on our social media platforms or YouTube channel on where to find us. And this is normally that point where I point at the bottom of the screen and hit like and subscribe. You know what it is. But guys, let's not worry about the details. This is the preview of the preview with a review. We are talking World Baseball Classic, and let's just get straight into it. I mean, JC, first of all, as a man that's represented his country, how great was this World Baseball Classic? Everybody's raving about it. Twitter's gone crazy.
I mean, there are two stories to talk about. One is the tournament as a whole, which was amazing. And the second was the story of Great Britain and that team and their success. And I realized that they won one game, but they played Mexico close. That one victory over Colombia, really pretty large upset. Colombia ranked 11th in the world. It was amazing. And I got a brief chance to talk with the manager, Drew Spencer. And the one thing I said to him that I was so impressed by is that when you're an underdog, you can go into these tournaments either very loose or very tight, you know, because it's this big opportunity and you want to do so well. And sometimes teams come in really tight. Other times they're able to sort of brush off that pressure and be the best that they can be. And a lot of that is a culture created by the manager. And I gave Drew a lot of credit because this team was so much fun, from Mock sipping tea on the bases to the cape and crown after home runs. And you could tell that they were having fun with it. And that just added to the excitement and enjoyment. And as a result of that win against Colombia, Great Britain is already qualified for the 2026 World Baseball Classic, which is huge for baseball.
Huge. And Dave, yes. Obviously, you're an adopted member of this British family here.
Yes.
Were you excited sitting in your little porty hole in New York? Were you feeling the buzz? Were you feeling the love?
You could, I mean, look, anybody who's been involved in a kind of global baseball community has been aiming for the success of this tournament, and on a more molecular level, aiming for the success of GB in a tournament like this, getting in, first of all, and then winning a game, forget about it. I mean, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, you would have never even dreamed of something like this could even happen. And here we were watching it unfold. You know, if I had to have one criticism of Team GB, was their uniforms were horrific. I mean, these were the worst uniforms.
It was so bad, it was good. Come on. It was old school.
This is such a great story.
No school. There's no school whatsoever.
Dave, you're the only person I know who could take such an amazing story and find a negative. Who gives a monkeys about the uniform? Now, look, you've talked about a legacy. You've talked about evolution. Eric, no one's been part of that journey more than you in terms of being down there in the muddy fields of Finsbury Park. And then obviously that amazing night at Chase Field. I mean, just talk to me about that journey. Did you ever imagine, buddy, with all the years that you've been such an integral part of the British baseball journey, did you ever imagine this happening?
You know, like you said, Johnny, I look back to the muddy fields of Finsbury Park, Croydon Fields in Brighton. And if somebody told me, and Josh will attest to this too, that, you know, way back in 97, 98, 99, when we were started following the local leagues here and GB baseball on these fields, like, hey, one day these guys will be on the big stage against playing against an all-star team. And I'll be like, yeah, right. Even with Josh playing. And it was, and I was so enamored. I couldn't believe my eyes. It's happening. And I know half the guys on that team. I know the coaching staff. And I was so pleased to see GB making us proud on the big stage.
I can't tell you how old it made me feel with that coaching staff, Goldie, because Brad Marcelino, I was his roommate in the first European Championships he played in 1999. He was like 17 years old, and I was like a well adult. Liam Carroll was a teenager when I was, you know, sort of a regular on the national team. These guys have all developed into really impressive coaches and playing a huge role. Jonathan Cram and his first opportunity to play at the adult level, the senior level, was the London Mets team that I put together, and that these guys are now playing a role in coaching a team of this caliber. You talk about how a number of these players are, you know, potentially from elsewhere, that they don't, their connections to Great Britain are maybe lesser than we particularly want to have. But you look at that coaching staff, and these guys are all born, bred British folks. And so there is a tremendous connection on this team to the actual British baseball.
But JC, just looking forward, I remember when 2012 happened and it was the best Olympics we'd ever had, but everybody talked about the importance was the legacy. Do we kick on as a result? Is it important that from the success that GB baseball have had with this, and obviously, as you've mentioned already, automatically qualifying for the next one in 26, is it important this legacy is now built upon? And is it possible that the legacy can be built upon? Because at the moment, we've only got one real proper diamond in the whole country. So there's a lot to be done and there's a lot to be developed. Is this the springboard?
I think there are a number of ways in which the answer to that is yes. So the first is the aspirational piece. You saw people in the UK watching this, seeing baseball, getting better media coverage, and that inspires people to play. So that's really important. The second is the financial piece, which is you get money for having success and being a part of the World Baseball Classic. By staying in there, they're going to get financial support both through the WBC, but also it allows you to go out and try and get money from other resources. The third, and I'm an example of this, is that some of these guys who maybe weren't as connected to the domestic game, the grassroots game, I promise you will start to get more connected to it. Because once you've played for a country, you feel a connection in a way that was different previously. So my hope is that people like the Chavez Youngs of the world will potentially sort of get more involved with the proper British game. And that gives you those type of role models to potentially also springboard the game.
And obviously, Dave, you've got a poster of Harry Ford up in your bedroom now, I imagine, you know, your new baseball hero. Have you drafted him in your fantasy team?
Of course. First round.
But I mean, that's surely a big part of this. You know, we've got to have heroes. Every sport needs a hero.
You need a poster boy. Yeah,
exactly.
You need a poster boy. And GB is going to benefit from this tournament for a long time, you know. And they have no choice but to keep pushing on because they have another tournament to play. So even if they were going to take their foot off the pedal, they can't now because they're locked in. And I think that's a really great incentive moving forward to keep this thing going.
And it will be interesting to see, to your point, David, as the Euros are this summer, it will be a different configuration of this team because the requirements to represent Great Britain in a European Championship requires a passport as opposed to the WBC, which is a lineage-based qualification process. So really, this program needs to continue to build that depth, so they can succeed on both levels. But I want to make one other point, which is in 2026, this team potentially can be a tremendous amount better. You think of the younger players, the guys like Harry Ford, who are going to be 4 years older. If he is able to come back, he'll probably be in the majors at that point. But Jazz Chisholm, who really wanted to play in this tournament, if he's available, Lucius Fox. There are other players out there that really suggest that Great Britain could be even better the next iteration of this tournament.
Just before we move on from the Great Britain part of this whole story, I want to ask you, Eric, your engagement with the fans. You know a lot of them, and I've been so impressed with the passion shown, the Ian Bleases of this world, with the outfits that have been out there. My mate Gav, who I'm part of one of his leagues, who was out there as well. There's been such a connection between this team and the fans. How big a part do you think they played?
It was incredible because they put GB fans on their radar. And Ian Bleese, if you guys obviously, you must have seen this, obviously, when he was dressed up as one of the Spice Girls in one of the games, he had the suit with the
and
the
John Baxendale. You got to also give
and John Baxendale, gotta give him his props as well, with the whole, their suits with the Union flag on it, flags, I should say. And I went to a watch party here in London as well to watch Great Britain versus Canada. Sorry, Great Britain. But hey, it was. They did well, even in that Canadian romp that they lost. They played well. It was a crazy game to begin with, as are many of the World Baseball Classic games. But even in their loss against Canada, they held their own. They showed they could play baseball.
Eric, I got to call you out though, because I saw a picture of you at that watch party, decked out in Canada gear.
Well,
sorry,
yes,
that's just when in London. GB gear, buddy.
Yeah. Now, I purposely went to that watch party wearing Canadian baseball cap and Canadian t-shirt.
Boo.
No, only so they could channel their anger towards one person. Right. And but hey, you know,
did they burn you an effigy?
No, they bought me a beer and some chicken wings. So I was happy.
Look, Canada won one more game than the GB.
What's that?
Canada won only one more game than GB.
Exactly. So, you know. But hey, well done, GB. Well done to all those fans. I have so many people I want to congratulate that are just too many who made this whole prize, as does Josh as well. I'm sure that we've known people in the backroom staff of GB. I can't even begin, like Zach Raffner, who is the pitching coach. I've known him many years doing baseball game development around Europe. And just to see what unfolded in Chase Field, just made me so proud.
Good people doing a great job, and we tip our hat to each and every one of them. They've made us unbelievably proud. Let's move on, guys, because we haven't got a lot of time. Let's just talk about the World Baseball Classic itself. I mean, Josh, the first time I feel genuinely in this is what the fifth one. I think it started back in 2006. This is when it really truly became a classic for international baseball fans. I know there's still a lot of cynicism in America itself, but when you've got Japan v South Korea getting 70 million watchers, and let's remind ourselves, last year's World Series, 12.5 million, that is a global market that needs to be tapped into. And that is what this tournament is meant to deliver. And it's now beginning to deliver.
Without a doubt. I mean, the games were so compelling. The amount of energy, the amount of desire, the amount of drive from players on every single team, including the United States. It really suggested that baseball can be an international sport in a way that I honestly hadn't seen previously. I also think that Japan should get its just deserves as a baseball nation. For so long, people have talked about the Nippon Baseball League as some sort of minor league. Clearly, deserves vastly more credit because the vast majority of those players were members of Team Japan, and they won the championship yet again. So, you know, individual games, we could go game by game and all these exciting, breathless finishes. I think one thing that's really interesting about this, that's a talking point, is that this tournament was not played under the new rules that we're expecting for Major League Baseball this year. And yet the games were so compelling. And I think that there is an argument to be made, and I'm not, you know, 162 game schedule is different, right? So, you know, you want to have faster games, blah, blah, blah. But this proved that baseball in its pure form, previous to the new bases, previous to the changing of the rules with both the pitch clock and with shifts, can be insanely compelling.
Dave, from a US perspective, and we're still focusing on the positives here, the fact that so many key players wanted to be involved, not just for Team USA, but elsewhere. When you've got the legends of the Trouts of this world, the Mookie Betts, these are A-listers. These are superstars. Surely that is a big testament to what it means to players to be involved.
They wanted to be there. And I think what this comes down to, and one of the reasons that this tournament was so successful and is starting to make headway in the United States itself, and what separates the WBC from some of the criticisms, oh, it's exhibition, oh, it's an all-star game. But the big difference between the WBC and those games are player buy-in. It's all about the player buy-in. That is where it starts, and that is where it finishes. Because if they give a shit, we give a shit. It's contagious. You watch it, and you see how much they care. You watch Lindor. You watch these guys perform, how much it means to them to wear their country's jersey. And you can't sit here and tell me that this is doesn't mean anything. You just can't, because the guys who are playing are going all out. Right?
And I have to say, Eric, just to bring you in as well, just looking at the numbers, I mean, some of the numbers that really appealed to me, the first round viewership was in excess of 1 million. The previous record was just over 500,000. That was a 98% increase. So clearly the players buying in meant that the fans bought in. And it wasn't just the fans that were actually in the gate, in the parks. I know that the average fans per game this year was 25,000+. In 2017, the previous record was just over 20,000. So again, a massive leap. So it's not just the viewership that's buying in, the players buying in, it's people wanting to go and watch the games live. Hell, I wish I was over there. Some of the games that I caught, I wish I was there. The atmosphere was electric.
Totally. And you know, and every game in Taiwan was sold out, and pretty much every game in Japan was sold out. And people traveled to Miami for the semis and the final, you know, and it was like you said, a truly electric atmosphere. One of the best World Baseball Classic so far.
It's a global audience, wasn't it, for that final? It wasn't just US fans. It wasn't just Japan fans.
No,
there were loads of tops from Cuba, from Venezuela. You said it. It was a truly global market.
Yep.
But such a bad look for some American pundits who have sort of said, oh, this doesn't matter, have groused about the injuries. Obviously, no one wants injuries. Those are tragic, but there have been a number of major injuries in spring training as well, too. You know, I think that there is a portion of the American baseball fan population who just don't get it. Yeah. But for Europe, we have to keep in mind, right, Great Britain qualified for the next event, Czech Republic did, Israel, which is part of the European Confederation, despite its location, did, Italy made the quarters, Netherlands are coming back. That's big news for European baseball.
That's what I want to take away as well. Is that's like, you know, that Netherlands beating Cuba, Mike Piazza's Italy going deep into like losing against the powerhouse that was Japan eventually in the quarters, and Czech Republic's first appearance. So who says baseball isn't a European sport? And hats off to Czech Republic, because I know I've been to the Czech Republic for Major League Baseball game development. David Winkler was there, and I was so proud to see the Czech Republic, you know, just represent as well. And to the fact that did you hear that Shohei Ohtani wore a Czech Republic cap when he was flying to the U.S. And sales of Czech Republic baseball caps went up like 100%.
Well, and that Czech Republic team is so instructive for Great Britain baseball, for all of European baseball, because that was the one team that was really, with the exception of Eric Sogard, was made up of purely players who play in the Czech Republic Extra League, in their league.
And that's right.
I've played in the Czech. I know you've been to some of those facilities, Eric. I've played in the Czech Republic. They have amazing facilities.
Great
all across facilities. The country, a number of stadiums. And it's a, you know, if you build it, they will come sort of story, because that's a team that is purely European, that they could get on the stage, beat China, which has a lot of infrastructure as well too, and stay in this event. That should get all other European countries and Great Britain thinking about, okay, how do we get there with our domestic players?
In the Czech Republic, you can't have dual passports. So everyone on that Czech, well, 99% of the team on the Czech Republic were the Czech Republic passport holders. And that's just indicative of how well they did.
Dave, we've now touched on the negatives, and Josh has already talked about the fact there's a few sports pundits over there. Keith Olbermann is the one that's getting all the publicity, and obviously the injury to Edwin Dyers, that was the big one, and there were other injuries as well to players, thankfully not too serious, I don't think. Freddie Freeman, Jose Altuve, to name but two. But I mean, it's sport. And I've read a really good article, and this is the paper that you write for in The Guardian, talking about the joy of sport and allowing athletes to reconnect with their love of the game. And that, to me, was so important. Why it was such a spectacle was because you could see how much fun these guys were having.
I think what has been on display is the kind of provincial nature of the media in the United States when it comes to events like the World Baseball Classic. But the fact of the matter is that baseball is a game that has been around for a very long time and is in a very advanced stage in comparison to other sports. It must have a global tournament. And it seems like that the World Baseball Classic is going to be that global tournament. I know that there's probably politics involved when it comes to the Baseball Federation in Switzerland, but this is what we have. The World Baseball Classic is something that I think over time is going to grow in favor with the American media, because like I said earlier, it's, you watch these guys play and it's great. If Messi got hurt in the World Cup, people would be upset, but you know, the club at home wouldn't be calling for the end of the World Cup. Josh?
No, I totally agree. 100%, Dave, you're spot on.
So, you know, this idea that, you know, we should, you know, the sky is falling. Well, I'm a Mets fan, right? I've lost the best closer in baseball.
Yeah.
But I understand that could have happened anywhere. And if it's going to happen, I'd damn rather have it happen when he's playing a game that's meaning something, that's entertaining, than on some backfield in Jupiter.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right, Dave, about the player buy-in. And it's the Americans, it's the Puerto Ricans, Dominican players, Venezuelans. Every major baseball nation is as enthusiastic about this event as the ones like Great Britain and Czech Republic. It's from top to bottom, the desire to compete in this.
And we've been waiting for that U.S. buy-in. You know, I think when we watched the earlier tournaments in 06 and 09, all of us watching were like, man, look at those Dominicans. They care. Look at the Puerto Rican team. They care. Look at all the Latinos. Look at the Japanese. Look at the Koreans. And the Taiwanese, they care. And the Americans were just kind of like, whatever, we have to be here. But it wasn't like that this time.
Well, and let's tip our hats to Mike Trout, because he played a huge role in that. And it's what's been fascinating about this event. It's not just about the overall interest in baseball, but in terms of personalities, this event has been incredible. We've seen that personal social media accounts have gone through the roof. And for a player like Mike Trout, who has always been criticized as not being, despite being the face of baseball, not being that type of personality, this was a fantastic event to understand his psyche and to appreciate him, not just as a baseball player, but as a person. And that's vital for the game as well, too.
And you
how do you go to back to work? How do you walk into like spring training after being part of this incredible event? It must be tough as a player to go back and put on your domestic uniform and go back to work.
Just before we wrap this up, guys, I mean, you couldn't have scripted it better. What is it about baseball where it's just the perfect finale? You got the two biggest names in the game, Otani and Trout, the last out. You know, he runs the count up almost deliberately, it seems. It couldn't be better if it was a Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah, I mean, this event's been all about really great moments. If you go on Twitter, there's an Australian pitcher who struck out Otani, and he does a what I was thinking throughout the whole thing. It's hilarious. I mean, Mike Trout struck out against Great Britain. Cooper struck him out, Dan Cooper. So, I mean, that's the beauty of this game, is that you have David versus Goliath moments, Goliath and Goliath moments. The tournament couldn't have been better. It really couldn't.
Fantastic. So, guys, do you remember when we used to do road trips and we'd go to see a stadium and we'd do the old thumbs up or thumbs down? Okay, yeah. I want those thumbs. World Baseball Classic. For those of you who can't see what's happening, we've all got a thumbs up on three, guys. Success or not a success? It's a massive thumbs up.
See you in 3 years. Exactly.
And even to see fans, actual real live human beings inside Marlins Park. Like, we're not used to seeing that. Usually they had 5,000 people in there. They had 38,000 in there.
Oh, my God, Dave. Now I'm going to get phone calls from Pete Pratt telling me, how to stop slagging off my team. We love the Marlins. Anyway.
Moving on.
Right. Well, look, guys, we've got to wrap it up because, unfortunately, time has beaten us. Keep an eye on our social media handles, as always, for more information of when our first episode of the season will be released. As always, we'll do a pre-season look, so you've still got plenty of time to research whether that's your fantasy team or, more importantly, for us, previewing what we think is going to be happening in the 2023 season. We'll also have our usual, the news roundup, the seventh inning stretch, we'll do the baseball book, and tragically, we're also going to be doing the baseball music. I've done my level best in the off-season to get that canned, but Eric loves it. He insists upon it.
Hey, it's important. It's pop culture and baseball.
Yeah. Stick to the baseball. Let's stick to the popcorn. Right. At Johnny and Josh, that's the strap line. If you want to get in touch, don't forget, of course, all our social handles. We'd love it if you could subscribe, if you can like, if you can share. Let's spread the word on the back of the huge success that was the World Baseball Classic. Don't forget also, you've got the Nat Coombs Show coming up, and that's at the NC Show, all part of the same platform. Do give Nat a listen if you're into your North American sport. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube. Boys, thank you so much. Anybody, we're all keeping busy. Anybody play fantasy baseball?
Oh, yeah.
It's too early for that.
Well, too early for that. All right.
I'm playing in one league with you, Gouldie.
You are indeed, JC. And we are matching up week one. Yeah, baby. We're going to be reporting on that. That's for sure.
I'm not looking forward to playing in a league with you again, Gouldie.
Yeah, so anyways, as Johnny said, stay tuned. We're back for another season. More trivia, more news rounds, and yes, more baseball music.
Yeah, unfortunately, more music. Thank you for listening anyway. We look forward to seeing you very soon. We'll be back pre-season. We'll be back during the season. Make sure you check us out on the Johnny and Josh Show with Dave, with Eric. And we leave you with, oh, no, I can't believe I'm saying this, Jane Morgan's baseball, not that again.
I met a lad, handsome and witty, who whispered to me, you are so pretty. Soon he and I were cabareting. We had a good time. Goes without saying, he came to my house, all the lights were low, and then he held me close, set my heart aglow. He told me that my lips were as sweet as wine. With that he put his two lips close to mine and talked of baseball, baseball, the Dodgers and baseball, baseball, Stan Musial and baseball, baseball, all through the night, baseball, baseball. I was so mad, I got to thinking, surely this lad will start me drinking. For there was me, eager and healthy, in love with a he, handsome and wealthy. I tried to get him in my sweet embrace. All he had on his mind was the pen and trace. And though I saw him practically every night, we never went to movies or saw a fight. We just saw baseball, baseball, DiMaggio and baseball, baseball, Chicago Cubs, baseball, baseball, DeRocher and baseball, baseball. My heart knew such humiliation that I sat and planned retaliation, using the wiles known to all women. I'd marry that man if it was human. The wedding bells rang, we were one in June. Triumphantly we went on our honeymoon. He held me very tight under stars so bright and whispered, darling, who do you love tonight? I told him, baseball, baseball, the Tigers and baseball, baseball, Ted Williams and baseball, baseball. I love the game, baseball, Yankees, Red Legs, Braves, White Sox, Indians, Phillies, Senators, Red Sox, Orioles, Athletics, Pirates, baseball, baseball, baseball.